at times is becoming farcical, and you have to really feel for these players and management. This isn't normal in any shape or form.
For your first chance to hear Brian O'Driscoll on OTB, download the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications.
So we are just over a week away now from the GAA Special Congress, which will either be a day of seismic change for the intercounty game, or it'll be a day where the status quo is maintained. There are three options available to delegates when it comes to change within the intercounty season. Really, though, it's a choice of two because Proposal A isn't gaining any momentum. So we're talking about Proposal B, which is the one strongly favoured by the GPA and its membership of intercounty players. That is to flip the season. Provincial championships in the spring. The league becomes the championship in the summer. The All-Ireland series will be made up of the top five teams in Division 1, the top three teams in Division 2, along with the winners of Division 3 and Division 4. There would also be a Tailteann Cup in there for Division 3 and Division 4 sides after the league. Proposal C is essentially to stay as we were, so league in the spring, provincial championships leading into the All-Ireland series in the summer. That proposal also includes the Tailteann Cup. There is a feeling, though, that if Proposal C goes through, that the Super 8s may well be scrapped with a return to qualifiers if Proposal C is the one that Congress decides upon. Cara O'Kane is GAA writer from the Irish News to have a chat about this, about Proposal B and its chances of getting through Congress. Good evening, Cara.
Evening, Nathan. How are you?
I'm all right. So you were writing in the Irish News this week. You say the proposal on the table is better than what we have at the minute, but you're not fully convinced. You also say that the flaws in Proposal B are absolutely crippling. What are your issues with Proposal B?
That the flaws are crippling. The major flaws in it are just so major that they're impossible to ignore. And I think, you know, people have become, and everybody's become a wee tiny bit blinded by the desire for change. And believe me, I would love to see the championship structure change. The championship structure needs to change. It is horrendously bad. But when you're changing something as major as that, you need to make sure that what you're changing it to is exactly right, absolutely on the nail. And I just don't think that the proposal that's on the table is close enough to that. You're looking at, you know, it's a structure that rewards the Division 4 winners over the team that finishes 6th in Division 1. And 7th in Division 1, 8th in Division 1, the rest of Division 2 behind 3rd.
But doesn't that allow, at the start of a season, all 32 teams to know that they have a chance of going deep into the All-Ireland series? So you would expect that the team that finished 6th in Division 1 are a stronger team, naturally, than the winners of Division 4. But it does mean that every single team knows they're going to get an opportunity. And they are going into the last 10 of the All-Ireland series. They're not going straight to an All-Ireland semi-final. It's not like it's just the winners. So they will play 7 games. Every team will play 7 games. And if you haven't finished in the top 5 in Division 1 after 7 games, well, you're probably not going to win an All-Ireland championship anyways. That this, the benefits of actually giving the Division 4 and Division 3 teams an into the All-Ireland series creates a bit of magic about it as well. It means that every team at the start of the season knows we have some sort of a chance of lifting Sam Maguire, as unlikely as it's always going to be for teams in Division 3 and Division 4.
Exactly, because, you know, the structure that we have offers every county in Ireland a chance to win an All-Ireland, but they're not going to win an All-Ireland. There has to be a small element of realism attached as well. And, you know, we're blinded. We're absolutely blinded by how bad the current structure is. And I can see that. You know, I can see the desperation for change. But even just go back to the All-Ireland quarterfinals the last year before the Super 8s came in 2017. Like, in the replay, Mayo beat Roscommon by 22 points. Dublin beat Monaghan by 10. Tyrone beat Armagh by 18. Kerry beat Galway by 8. You know, that was the All-Ireland quarterfinals. And my worry, my fear for this thing is that you're going to get imbalanced All-Ireland quarterfinals because you're taking 3 Division 1 teams out of the running. At that stage, you're going to end up with a weak All-Ireland quarterfinal stage, and then you're going to have your top 4 teams out of Division 1 will almost inevitably end up in the All-Ireland semi-finals. Anyway, the same 4 teams that have been getting the All-Ireland semi-finals under the current structure. And so, you know, there's maybe no structure that puts that away altogether. Like, you're not going to stop, no matter what you put in, you're not going to stop Kerry and Dublin.
But isn't that what makes this new structure actually worthwhile? Because you've nailed it there. That you look at the last decade, five counties have got to an All-Ireland final. You look at the last 20 years, six counties have won an All-Ireland title. That it is always going to be the same three or four, regardless what system, championship structure. We know that Dublin are going to be in there, Kerry will be in there, there'll be one or two strong teams from Ulster, or Mayo or Galway. They're always going to be the top five or six. But actually, this new system allows, firstly, every team to start the year knowing there's an opportunity of getting involved. They'll go into that All-Ireland series, the Division 4 champions, for example, off the back of seven games. They'll have a bit of momentum. They'll probably be playing a Division 2 team maybe in the preliminary round. That it, you know, it's unlikely to be maybe a 25-30 point game. They get their day out. If they win that, it's an almighty jike killing. It's a great story. Then you'd imagine that'll be the end of their summer. But at least it's a real strong storyline for teams in Division 4 and Division 3. And the top teams are still going to be there. They're still going to get their seven games, and maybe over a league campaign another couple of teams can squeeze in there as well. That nothing that happens is going to affect the top three or four teams. They're always going to be the strong teams, but this allows other counties to get enough serious games to actually build a bit of momentum over the course of the summer, that when they do meet them, maybe they're ready to meet them.
Well, when you say nothing will affect the top four or five teams, I think that's where a big part of this argument is. And like, it's an argument I'm furthering now, but I think Kieran Shannon in particular has been banging this drum for years, that the fact that Division 1 has become such an enclosed space is really harming football, in the sense of, and it's a very difficult thing, because I love watching Division 1 games as much as anybody else. You know, everybody wants to watch Kerry Dublin, everybody wants to watch Tyrone Mayo, and they want to watch those games, and it is a hard thing to move away from. But like, look at the stats of what, you know, Dublin, take next year from 2006, it'll be Dublin's 17th year in a row in Division 1. Mm. 16 out of 17. Kerry, 17 out of 17. Mayo, 16 out of 17. Tyrone, 15 out of 17. And Donegal only come on a wee bit later, and they're now in, you know, 12 of 17 in that time frame. But more in the last, you know, if you take that down to 13, 14 years for them, so it's 12 out of 13 or 14. So, the teams are constantly playing each other. Those four or five teams are playing each other all the time in the league, and then the big games in the championship, and they're getting better and better. Like, the worst part of that statistic is that, you know, outside of those elites, only two teams since 2010 have survived more than a single season in Division 1 after coming up. It is so, so, so difficult to break into that when they're not being exposed. They're coming up, there's generally five teams in front of them, and then a team that's been there for a year or two. Like, I think of Cavan and Roscommon in particular, who bounced up and down and bounced up and down and never stayed more than a year, couldn't get their feet in the division. It was so hard to get staying up, and then they're down again. They can't build any, you know, they can't build any Division 1 status doing that. And I suppose Kieran Shannon's point, and I would back it to the hilt, is that as much as, you know, the league has been absolutely brilliant, for the sake of the longevity of inter-county football and for the competitiveness of it, like, do we really have to go back to 1A and 1B, where we take the top 16 and we split them up and we take four of the top eight in one division, four of the top eight in the other division, and split up 16 and give 16 teams exposure to those teams, and try and rebalance, because the top has become very heavy and it's tipping football over. The top has become almost impossible. And look at the margins in some of the games now that we've never seen before. Look at what Kerry have been doing to Cork and Munster. You know, annihilating them. You know, and obviously what Dublin have been doing in Leinster, and that's a slightly separate argument, but there's just so, so much of what's been done by the better teams. They're doing it all against themselves, and nobody else is getting exposed to them in proper, you know, it's all right playing the Burn Cup game against Dublin Thirds, but you're not really playing Dublin in any game that you're, you know, you think you're learning, and then the next thing you go out and play somebody in a half competitive game and you find that you're actually miles away because you have no exposure to a game like that. And so the league has been the best competition to watch by a mile. The league has been fantastic, but has also been something that is driving the standards of those top four or five teams away further and further and further away. And it's meaning that, you know, realistically, nobody outside that is going to win in All-Ireland, no matter what structure you have in place. And then that goes back to, you know, I'm talking about the hammerings that have been handed out. God almighty, imagine the Division 4 champions did get through their playoff, which is, you know, not beyond the realms. Like, you know, my own County Derry were in a Division 4 a couple of years ago. And if you won Division 4 and you're up against a third place Division 2 side, you know what, it's not inconceivable that the Division 4 champions at some point might win that game. It'd be unlikely, but it's not beyond the realms. But what happens to them when they go into an All-Ireland quarterfinal that they have been preparing for by playing Division 4 teams?
Maybe they get a heck of a beating, but they've come through, they've won Division 4, how far back does that set them? They've had it, but at the moment, all those Division 4 teams, like if it stays as is, which I know you're not in favour of, Sligo or Leitrim could get drawn against Mayo first round next summer again and get beaten by 25, 30 points anyways. At least this way, they've had success, progress along the way, and they've got to test themselves against Dublin. And I understand what you're saying with your proposal of maybe the top 16 almost more mixing together instead of just the top 8 and the next 8. But at the moment, the team that are bottom of Division 2, that are the weakest team in Division 2, if they come up against the Dublin or Kerry or against Mayo, they're going to get a heck of a beating as well. Like, there's not much to suggest that they deserve to be in with the very best teams in the country.
Yeah, you're right. Like, but the point being that I think splitting up the top 16 is the way that you have to look at trying to rebalance that, trying to make it that, you know, your 10th or 11th or 12th team aren't getting hockeyed in that game, you know, that they're at least some way competitive. And the only way really that you can see that they're ever going to get to that point is if you expose them to more games against better teams, and you know, eventually they learn. And it's a fine balancing act, because you know, exposing the team that's not ready to too many of those games can set you back light years and really hammer you. So it's a very difficult thing. But I think what we're doing is we're just sending the top four or five teams further and further away. And this structure that is proposed, I can't see how that doesn't make that worse, because they're now playing championship games against each other repeatedly. They're not, you know, they're not testing out players in National League games. They are going full tilt in championship games against each other. And how, I just don't see how that doesn't make that problem worse.
It's always going to be hard to break in, though. As you said, like Roscommon and Cavan come into a League One, a Division One campaign, having won promotion the year before, maybe having had successful provincial championships, and still they can't cope with it. So I'm just wondering how that balance would work if you were to open it up even more.
Would you split it up? So take Cavan. Say they were in Division Two. Well, they're not. So maybe take whatever. Take Derry again, for example. They're up in the Division Two this year, and you put them into a league where you maybe have Kerry and you maybe have Mayo and you maybe have Tyrone, and then you have maybe Meath and you have a couple of the other Division 2 counties, and that's an 8-team league. They're getting exposed to those games. They're able to compete against some of the teams in the league as well. So they're not condemned to relegation. They're not going up there thinking, well, we're only going up there to come back down. And that's a very hard mindset to really break away from. You know, teams will never tell you they're going up to come down, but really in their heart of hearts, like most teams get up in Division 1 are thinking, geez, we're doing incredibly well if we survive a year here. Mm. If we survive, you know, because there are six teams have survived a year, but it's always a big test to say. And we'll see, you know, with Armagh this year, who survived in the Northern League and then won their playoff this year. But, you know, this is a big year for them. Can they survive the second year, or do they fall back out of it? And then where are they going? Where do they go from there? It's very difficult. And I think what you want is two or three of those real top teams in each of those groups, that all 16 teams are being exposed. And the problem, you know, and people are definitely going to have an argument with that, because what it's going to do is it is going to dilute and break down the spectacle of the league, because I go back to the fact that the league games, and particularly if those games are played in championship time and summertime and good weather, like some mouthwatering football there. And the games that you're thinking of would just be unbelievable to watch. But are we doing this to, you know, to basically make the thing more attractive in that real top bracket over the next 4 or 5 years? Or are we doing this, you know, this is changing a championship structure after 130 years. As I said in the piece on Tuesday, like, you know, this is not a holiday romance, this is a marriage. You know, you're not going in 2 years time again and changing this. And the argument that sort of some people are throwing is, you know, well, throw it in, see how it goes, and then tweak it in a couple of years' time. Like, I don't think that's a runner, you know, because what happens if the top eight counties decide, no, look, we're very happy with this, we don't want to tweak this, and, you know, that's a big percentage of your vote at
But
Congress.
Do you not have to make the change when you have the chance? Because we have probably got sidetracked talking about something that isn't actually on the table. And why not make the change this year? And I think even the GPA admit it's not perfect. It's very hard, as we've just discovered, to find a perfect solution. But everybody's in agreement that what's there at the moment doesn't work. So why not make this change? Why not make the break between the provincial championships and the All-Ireland series? Make the league the championship. And if after 2-3 years, what you're saying is turning out to be true, well, then maybe then you look at a top 16. But right now, managers in Division 3 and Division 4 are looking at players who are unmotivated, who don't see any point in really coming together for next year. And they all, like, the strongest voices in this are the players' voices. They want this change. Why not make the change now and then correct the imperfections over the coming years?
I think the players definitely seem to want this, and you know, the GPA statements and their survey are very strongly in support of it. It's not going to be in 2 or 3 years time. You know, you're not going to turn around in 2 or 3 years time and say, well, look, this structure hasn't made the thing any worse or any better, because change isn't going to be affected in 2 or 3 years. You know, the change that you're looking for, the long-term change of the competitiveness of football in the top end, is going to take a decade. And so you're voting in something that you have to give a decade to see, is this having the change that we desired? Is this having a negative effect? Is it having a positive effect? And when you look at it on paper, I think there's too many flaws in it to say that it's going to have a real positive impact on rebalancing football. And for that reason, and what I would suggest, and you've seen it done it at various times in Congress, is don't put the thing before Congress. Take it away now before Saturday, before it gets voted down, or sorry, next Saturday, and before it gets voted down, before it gets beaten and it goes away. And people think, well, we tried that and it didn't work. You take it off the clar, and you say, we're going to go away and we're going to fix this, and we're going to make this the very best structure. Like, they're very close. The league element of the championship, moving everything around, de-linking the provincial championships, watering them down.
But that's the issue, isn't it? You're talking about it being voted down on Saturday week. One of the main reasons, I'd imagine, is that because of that link being broken between the provincial championships, there's nothing that nobody believes is the future that maintains that link. So they can delay it a year and try and come up with it again. But clearly, you can tell from the GPA statement, you can tell from the letter that they sent to all the delegates, that they kind of realise now is the time for change, that pushing it back a year means that there'll be other complications, that there is no guarantee that pushing it back a year means that a better version of this will progress.
There's no guarantee, but I think what they're maybe talking about is, you know, the thing being voted down, which you do not want. You do not want it to get beaten on the floor. I think that would be, because I go back to the fact that I wanted to change. I think the provincial or the championship structure has to change. And all of that stuff, all of those elements I listed, the league and all that, are great parts of it. You know, it's very, very, very close to being what's needed. But the flaws are so big in it that you know, in the long term, is it actually going to help? I don't think it is. And when you're so close to getting the thing right, why not just take it away? Because, as I said, you know, I don't think you can vote something in and turn around in a year or two and say, well, look, we're going to make this big wholesale change. And half the counties will go, well, look, no, we voted for this. We're going to wait and see what comes of it. And then you can't get change passed. You know, Congress votes down changes or tweaks that you want to make for it. And then you're stuck in a cycle of, you know, how do we fix this thing that's broken? And I just think that when you're going to change something as massive as what they're looking to change, you make sure that you get it. And like, I think everybody looking at it is admitting that there are flaws in it, which, you know, would worry me. You know, everybody can see the flaws in it. And it's like, you know, I heard Enda McGinley almost just
I'll play a clip of Enda McGinley. I think we have it there at the moment. Here's what Enda McGinley, who's obviously manager of Antrim, who were in Division 4 last season, here's what he had to say about it.
And again, I would go back in terms of this sort of aversion to change. The very thing that we've all now accepted as a fact moving forward, this split season, it was never considered, no matter how much we tied ourselves in knots about the fixture crisis and the calendar problems. No one ever was brave enough to actually think, well, let's split the season. It would have never got moving anywhere. And yet, because it was forced upon us, we've suddenly realised, geez, you know what, this is great.
Yeah.
So my frustration would be if it was kicked into touch. This is I'm not saying it's an absolutely perfect proposal, but it's certainly got really new, really genuine ideas. The people that brought this forward are genuine GA men that spent, I would imagine, endless committee meetings coming up with this proposal. What have we really to lose? We've spent 100 and whatever number of years with the other. Like, what have we really to lose by going for 2-3 years with this other proposal? And maybe with it, as we've seen with the split season, suddenly a lot of advantages might actually come out that we never even thought was possible. And I suppose, look, it depends on your willingness to change. But for teams that have been stuck in the bottom and people are really advocating the provincial championships, that hasn't helped a lot of teams that have been left behind. The top teams are flying, are moving further away from the group. And I think some essence of change to increase the length of the season for those teams trying to catch up, to increase the quality of football they're getting at the peak time of season. I think those things are crucial to increase the exposure of them teams. That can drive revenue into those teams,
yeah,
and engagement of players. For players, like Mohun County man Niall Morgan came out with a really interesting comment after the All-Ireland final where he was talking about the dedication and the commitment needed and all of that there. And he said, if he hadn't a realistic chance for Sam, he wouldn't be there. Well, how does that sit with 25, 26, 27 other teams in the country?
Mm.
Or a manager like me that has to go and demand off them boys and try and get them boys to see what's possible for them. And yet we're expecting them all to be there because the association needs them there. And yet we're only really paying attention to the top teams. That sort of disparity and disrespect of a lot of other players has, for me, went on too long. And I think even the top teams are wanting the big competition changes. It would be really frustrating to see it being kicked into the long grass again.
Cathair, is that not the key point in this, that it is the managers and the players of the 24, 25 other counties, not the main contenders, who want this, who want that competitive summer of playing 7 matches against teams at their own level with no real risk of an almighty hammering and being able to progress through a summer and still have that carrot at the end of being part of an All-Ireland series, albeit with a risk, as you've said, of maybe taking a hammering at the end of it. But they still want to be a part of an All-Ireland series and they want these games. So why delay it? Why not just go now when everybody seems to want it? Like, everything Enda McGinley there seems to make total sense.
I would agree with almost everything he said. There was one word he used there that was crucial as well. He talked about exposure. You know, what exposure is Antrim Wicklow going to get on a weekend when Kerry are playing Mayo, Dublin are playing Tyrone, Armagh are playing Monaghan, Kildare are playing Meath? What exposure? But they're talking about increasing and improving the exposure. It's going to make it worse. You know, there's going to be, like, if the Sunday game lasted till Monday morning, there wouldn't be time for highlights of Antrim Wicklow. You know, you're only getting 90 seconds now. You're not going to get 90 seconds. And that is a side argument. That's not a reason to stop it. But, like, I think it comes back to the flaws. I agree with so much of what Enda says there. And, he's right. Apart from I just don't agree that, and I wish that, you know, the time is right in terms of the momentum behind change. It would be great. It would be absolutely brilliant if this momentum was behind a change that was right for football, that was absolutely on the money, where you were looking at and thinking, well, there's very, very, very little downside to this. There's no real flaw in this. I can't see a major flaw in this because it goes back, you know, I keep repeating, I want the thing to change. It has to change, but it can't be wrong, because you don't get the chance to change your championship structures every year or 2 years or 3 years or 5 years. You're the players and the managers in place at the minute want it because, you know, they're looking at their own next 12 months. But it goes back to my point about the Division One teams playing off each other and off each other the whole time and over the next 10 years. Like when Enda McGinley's long gone from Antrim and all the current Antrim players are gone, what is left for what's now there under 10s? When the fellas that are now 10 turn 20 and 21 and come into an Antrim team, what are they coming into? And I think when you're changing a championship structure, like you have to in some way be looking at that. You have to be thinking of that somewhere down the line. And I just don't know that this proposal does that. I wouldn't say it's short-sighted because there's so much of it is good.
Yeah.
You know, it's not far away, but it just, the flaws are massive and the tweaks have to be made, because I just don't see a case where you put the thing in and then you turn around next year or 2 years' time and say, well, look, we'll fix this, because I don't see it getting fixed for a decade. And then have you brought in something that, you know.
Yeah, I just think even on the Antrim example, like there's no solution to this that ends with Antrim winning an All-Ireland title. But you can win a Division 4 title, a Division 3 title. You can make progress maybe up to Division 2, and you can have that in the heart of summer. You can build a following in Antrim who travel around the country, who know what their fixtures are, who see something at the end of it.
But that exists at the minute through the National League. You know, that's the.
But this will be the middle of summer. This will be the real. This will be proper competition where nobody's trying out players. Nobody's at different stages of their season, at different stages of when the Ulster Championship starts. Everything is going to be important. Just before we finish, actually, Carr, because I know you really have a good understanding of how Congress works and all of that, and I know. From reading your article that as much as anyone can have an understanding of Congress could work. I know you had a feeling that maybe the players weren't 100% sure what they're marrying into. Certainly I know the GPA would dispute that from their survey. Do you think that the efforts the players are making to get their point of view across will be taken into account on Saturday week? Do you think that B has a chance of getting through?
Oh, I think it has a great chance. It does, and I think it was Enda said it last night as well, that, you know, there definitely is an element within the Congress body as well that would feel that whatever the GPA says, well, that can't be good. We better go against that, you know, and that exists. And you know, I can understand, absolutely, I can understand where the GPA are coming from. I have no issue with the GPA on this at all. Like, they're representing the views of their members. It's like anything political, it's like anything boardroom, like how much of it have players studied the long-term impact, you know, and you don't expect them to, you know, they're looking at the very here and now of next year's championship, and that's, you know, that's understandable. And I'm not saying that they don't understand what that entails, but I just think that the flaws of it were going to end up, you know, the All-Ireland quarterfinals, if it goes through, it'll just be very interesting to watch the All-Ireland quarterfinals over the next 2 years and what the margins of victory are. And then we're going to start, you know, people will be piping up and saying, ah, geez, these All-Ireland quarterfinals are well one-sided. You know, we need to change this. Why are the teams sixth, seventh and eighth in Division 1 not out there playing instead of somebody that finished halfway down Division 2 or won Division 3? You know, these are the things that are going to get said in a year's time or 2 years' time. And I think it's just, it is so close. The proposal is very, very close to being what football needs. But I just think if you vote something through that's not right, it's going to be very hard to get the momentum again to fix it.
Cahir, great stuff as always. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Nathan.
All right, quick break. And we're going to be talking to Kavitha Davidson about John Gruden.